We begin the current daf Masechtas Tmor daf Gimel. We begin 6 lines down at the top of the Amud. The Gemara goes back to a brisa that occurred in the previous daf, and that is we open up this Masechta, this parak regarding the laws of Tmura. We said HaKol Mamirin, we included other individuals that we might have thought maybe would not be applicable in the consecration of the sanctity of Tmura. But then there was questions regarding, does a minor create Tmura? What's with a non-Jew? Does a non-Jew create Tmura? So regarding that, we had introduced a brisa which the Gemara attempted to prove that a non-Jew could not do Tmura, which the Gemara ultimately said is not a proof from that brisa. But now that we introduced that brisa, Amamar, the Gemara goes back and quotes from the Tana of the brisa. The brisa said, as the Girsa is, Kachi Abdi Kachov, the sanctified elements of a non-Jew, when he sanctifies the carbon, Loinenen. So initially one's forbidden to have benefit from like all kachim, but there's no halacha misappropriation being obligated in the laws of Me'ila from benefiting from the kachim of a non-Jew. So the Gemara explains, this halacha of not benefiting from his kachim is only rabbinic, and this that is no me'ila is according to the biblical law. So the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? Why biblically are we saying that there's no law of me'ila regarding kachi akum? Because the chsib, the pasuk says of a yikur. It says, nefesh ki simol mal, where it talks about the halacha of me'ila, a soul that's going to misappropriate from the kachim, v'chata b'shkagan, he's going to sin by mistake, so it talks about the liabilities that he has regarding the carbon. Now, it says the terminology of chata, of sin. We have exerus shavlonei out the terminology of sin over here, and it says sin by truma. By truma, it says by midbar that it applies to Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, which says but it does not apply to non-Jews, and therefore that's how we know that the laws of Me'ila is also going to exempt the kedusha of that of Abdi Kechavim. Additionally, the Brisa continued and says, "Ve'in chayov naleim." Also, one's not liable as one is generally liable regarding kachim. Mishum pigul, if one had a machshava of being makavit chutzas manai, that's not going to apply to the liability of kachyakum. Neisei, if it was actually left over the time that the carbon is allowed to be eaten, or betamei, if someone's tummy partakes of it, there are usually liabilities that will not apply to the kachyakum. Why? So the Gemara explains, because the chsib b'tum, it says regarding one of these three halachas regarding partaking of kachim in the state of Tumah, says in the Yikud, says Dabra laharan v'abanav, speak to Aaron and his sons, v'inazru mikachim b'nei Yisrael, and they should separate themselves when they're in the state of Tumah from the holy things of the Jewish people, v'leichal v'ashem v'gomer, that they shouldn't desecrate the name of God. So it says by Tumah that it's specifically regarding b'nei Yisrael. Now additionally, b'yalav naisa, we learn regarding laws of when the carbon was left over its designated time, chil mitumah, we learn like Zeresh Shava, where it says chil by both those categories, which will also tell us that kachi akum is not going to have halacha of neiser, because the chsiv gabei tumah it says by the laws of tumah bnei Yisrael v'lo yichalu b'gomer, where we said bnei Yisrael excludes the non-Jews, and it used the terminology of desecration. The chsiv gabei neiser says regarding the laws of a carbon left over its designated time, the yikur says ba'ichla v'avayna yis, so whoever eats the carbon after its designated time that's allowed to be eaten will carry his sin, because the holy things of Hashem he has desecrated. So we learn that just like chil that says by Tumah is Yisrael and not a non-Jew, so to chil that it says over here is also Yisrael and not a non-Jew. And regarding the third category, the yal of pigul oven menaisa, and then we learn exeris shava regarding the laws of pigul when there was a machshava that the kain had when he was doing it that it should be beyond its time, where it says the terminology oven and says oven by neiser. The chsiv gabi pigul it says by pigul and by yikra it says by nefesh achilas mimena avoina tisa, that the one who eats from such a carbon even within its time, but the machshava was to eat beyond its time, he will carry his sin. Uksiv Gabi Nes says, by Nesav, Oichel Vavayne Yisa says also over there the terminology of oven, ki es kodesh Hashem kechilal. So therefore comes out, v'kula regarding all these three categories, are b'nei Yisrael v'loy Abdi Kuchav, applies to the Jewish people and not to non-Jews, because from Tumah we learn it to Nesav, from Nesav we learn it to Pigel. Additionally, the Brisa continues, it says, ve'ein oisin Timura, that the halacha of Timura does not apply to a non-Jew. And what's the reason they cannot make Truma? Timura, to try to swap the sanctity from one animal to another one. Because the chsiv that says a pasuk in Yikra, it says lo yichlufenu v'lo yomer, which is the halacha of not swapping the sanctity, not changing it to another animal, that of tamura. Now, Xibrish, in it says in the beginning of that topic over there in that parak in Yikra, it says daba el bnei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, and the gear says v'amarta aleim, and tell them ish kiafli neder be'erkacha. Someone's going to enunciate a vow, you take a vow of evaluations. But one thing we see that this whole parasha, including tamura, is talking about bnei Yisrael. Therefore, we know that tamura does not apply to a non-Jew. Lashon Acher, another version, says ve'enos in tamura that they cannot make tamura, my time, what's the reason? For a different calculation. The iskisha temuris behema, the laws of temura by an animal, which is what we're discussing, are compared in the Torah lemaisa behema, to the laws of the tithing of the animals. As the Gemara says later on, the Yud Gimel and Aleph, at the end of the perek, that maiser were included in all other kachim. Why was it specifically mentioned in the Torah? It's to compare it to what it says over there by the parsha of maiser behema. It mentions over there the laws of temura, to tell you that just like maiser behema is a carbon that a yachid is bringing, and that's where the laws of tomorrow will apply. So to every carbon of an individual, that's where the laws of tomorrow will apply. That comes to exclude, and that's why it specifically mentions Maisa Behem over there in its comparison to Tamura, to say that Tamura does not apply by a carbon of a tzibra. It's only by a carbon of a yachid. So we see that in that pasuk, it's equating, it's comparing the laws of Maisa Behem to Tamura Behem. Now, Maisa Behem, Lamaisa Dag, and additionally, the Torah compares the laws of the tithing of the animals to the tithing of the grains. As the Gemara says in Mecheres, the Gimel Mepe, it says, Aser to Aser. What's this tithe? You shall tithe two tithes. The Torah is talking about two tithes in one pasuk. One is Maisa Behema, and one is Maisa Dagan. Now, Begabe Maisa Dagan, now regarding the tithing of the grains, it says in Mamidbar, Kias Master Bnei Yisrael Asher Yirim LaHashem, because the tithing of the grain of the Jewish people, which they will elevate to Hashem, which tells us Bnei Yisrael V'lo Yabdi Kechavim, that Maisa Dagan is only for the Jewish people, not for non-Jews. So therefore, now you compare it to what is compared to a Maisa Behema, is also only Yisrael and not non-Jews. So just like we say by Maisa Behema is Yisrael and not non-Jews, so we're going to say for the Timur of an animal, which is also compared to Maisa Behema, is also going to tell us the same halacha that a non-Jew cannot go ahead and make a Timur. Now, the Gemara actually in Zvachim asks, what do you mean? Something that itself is learned from Hekesh regarding the laws of Kachim cannot teach something elsewhere to Hekesh. So the Gemara answers, no, because Maisa Dagan is Chulin, so it's not a Hekesh Alamim and a Hekesh. Because the first thing that we're learning out from Maisa Dagan is actually not a Kachim element. It's something that has sanctity, but it's not that of Kachim. Now the Brisa Ketina says, Ve'im mevi nesachim. The non-Jews, they don't bring libations to the Mizbeach, which are pouring of liquids. Av karban they turn nesachim, but his karban is requiring nesachim, that's Divrei Reb Shimon. Says Gemara, where do we know this halacha from? So the Tanna Ban, because learn the Braisa, the pasuk that talks about Nesachim, it used the terminology in the pasuk of Ezrach, the resident. Ezrach may be Nesachim, that refers to the Yisrael, the resident, he brings libations. But the non-Jew doesn't bring libations. Now, Yochaloi Tehei Lase to Unna Nesachim, so you would think even when he brings a carbon Ayla, which is what a non-Jew brings, that then it wouldn't require libations even from the Tzibur. Tamalei Mekacha, because there's two different interpretations, either it's talking about that he doesn't bring it, but the tzibur bring it, or he doesn't bring libations on his own. But either way, it's saying, Tamalama Kacha, Kacha is saying it has to be like this, that most definitely a carbon needs to have Nesachim, and either it's telling us that it's being brought from the tzibur, but not from him, or depending on the gear, so we had in the Braisa, we brought in the previous staff, if it goes to the word Aleihim or not, which that would tell us either that's going back on the carbon, or in general, that the Yisrael, he brings by himself Nesachim, but the non-Jew doesn't bring Nesachim, but Kacha is telling us either that most definitely that he has to bring Nesachim on this carbon, or that Nesachim have to be brought on this carbon, but there have to be Nesachim on this carbon, although either he doesn't bring it, or he doesn't bring it Nesachim by themselves. Now, on that, on this whole Braisa, Amar Bi Yisa, he said, Re'ani Bekulon Lahachmer. Regarding all these leniencies we said regarding the kachim of a non-Jew, that there's no pikul nois and tamei, there's no me'ila, he said, I'm stringent in all these different things, and that they do apply just as well by kachay akum. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? Because lashem ksiv bei. In the pasuk, where we learn out that a non-Jew could be makdish, a carbon, is the pasuk that we brought in the previous stuff that says, ish, that it says, memnei Yisrael, that asher yakrev karbanei. So why is it ish? What's the two ish? One of them could teach that a non-Jew, he could be noyed in the Dharma and the Dabbas like a regular Yisrael. Now, at the end of that pasuk, it says Lashem, like it says Asher Yaakov Lashem, to tell you that we qualify his kachem like all other kachem, which will have the laws of Me'ila, and there's going to be a liability of Pigal Neisr and Tamei. Now, Braisa continued and qualified the opinion of the Tanakama that says that there is no Me'ila by Kachay Akum. So said the Braisa, when we say this, is because Mizbeach. Is when something that he sanctified to be sacrificed as a carbon on the altar on the Mizbeach. But something that he sanctified to be for the temple upkeep, then there actually would be a law of Me'ila. Says the Gemara, my time, why? If anything, usually the Kachem Mizbeach are more stringent than Kachem Betagabais. Says the Gemara, because the Chigam Rinan Me'ila Chet Chet Mitruma, when do we learn, which was the source that we brought before, that excludes the laws of Me'ila by Kachem Akam? Because we said that the Gzeres Shavu learning out the word chet over here of Me'ilan says chet by Truma, but by Truma it says only B'nai Yisrael, not Akum. But that's only teaching us Dumi the Truma, what's equivalent and similar to Truma. they're Kaddish Kaddish Zaguf. Truma has a physical sanctity. One, the Azar, a non-Kohen, gets a penalty of death for eating it, it has a physical sanctity. That's where we're saying it's specifically B'nai Yisrael, which would lend that to the laws of Me'ilah. B'kacha B'tik Abayis. But something like for the temple upkeep, the Kedushas Dam, which is a monetary sanctity, lie, we don't preclude and we don't exclude that of a non-Jew, and actually there will be the laws of Me'ilah. Now going back to the topic of our Mishnah, the Gemara introduces a teaching which will right away be asked on from our Mishnah. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Merav. It says, Koloisa Seish Batayra, every negative prohibition in the Torah, Asaba Maisa Chayiv, if an action was done to violate this negative prohibition, one is liable for lashes. La'asaba Maisa Pata, but if no action was done, then he's exempt. Which the Gemara asks, V'klalu, is that a general categorical statement? The Lav Shein by Maisa Pata, if there's a negative prohibition that's not being done with an action, one is exempt from lashes. But Vahari Meimar, but we have the Halacha of our Mishnah of Tumura, the Lav Shein by Maisa, who there's no action being done because the violation is just with one's words. V'loki, and one gets lashes. It's not like in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Laishu Rasha Lahomer. It's not that a person permitted to go ahead and do Tumura. Elish Imhomer Mumer, but rather our Mishnah was saying when it says Hakol Mamirin, it just meant if someone does Tumur, then the Tumur will take effect. Vesevi gets a bum, he gets lashes. So you see the lashes even without an action. So Amlacha Rab, Rab would tell you, Hamani, you're right, but who's the town of our Mishnah that therefore it's not difficult on me? It's Rabbi Hudahi. The Amr that he says, Lav Shem Maisa Lekin Lav. He holds, as we're going to explain later on, that even the negative prohibition that doesn't have an action, one gets lashes. But don't ask on me. My category is like Drabban, who disagreed and says, if there's no action, there's no lashes, that's like a Behuda, who says that one gets lashes even if one didn't commit something with an action. Which the Gemara asks, could you really answer the question by saying that, oh, the Mishnah is not difficult because that's going specifically like Rabbi Yehuda? But it came to the Reisha, like Rabbi Yehuda, but we established in the previous daf, on the first daf, on daf Beis, that the beginning of our Mishnah was clearly not like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Tani, we learned in our Mishnah, that opened up the words of this Masechta, this parak, Hakol Mamir, and said, everyone can do tomorrow. So we had asked, Hakol Suyimai, what's everyone coming to include? Really include, really say explicitly in the Mishnah, men and women. So on that we said, Lasuya Yerush, coming to include the inheritor, which is the like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda actually holds that the Yerush does not do Tamura. So we already said that Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. How could you say and resolve the question by saying, oh, Tamura gets lashes because like Rabbi Yehuda, when that Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda? Says the Gemara, you're right, but Hai Tana, this Tana, which is, yeah, not like Drabanan, Savala Kavasebacha, that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one area, which is the Lav Shein B'Maisa Logan Love, that even though it's a negative prohibition, without an action, one would get lashes. But he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda in the other area. The Ilah Rabbi Yehuda Sava Yerush in the Semich Yerush in the Meimah, where although, as we established in the previous daf, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the inheritor does not do Smicha, does not do Tmura. But Tana Didan Sava Yerush Semich Yerush Meimah. But our Tana of our Mishnah, which we infer from the words Hakol, he says that Yerush does do smicha and does do tamura, but again, he's in that element that we're asking on Rav, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's not difficult on Rav, because Rav is like Drabanan, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, continuing on the same topic that we introduced, because it's related to the halacha of a Mishnah, some of Yidi Bar Oven, Amr Vamam, Amr Yitzchok, Amr Yechanon, Mishum Rabbi Yisai Galili, says the same idea, Kol Loisa Seisha B'Torah, every negative prohibition in the Torah, if asa b'maisa like, if there was an action that was done to commit it, one gets lashes, La'asa b'maisa patzeh, if there was no action, he's exempt. But he adds on chutz, there are three exceptions. Minishba, someone that took an oath, false oath. Or maybe he committed the isra of tamuru. Umekal chaver b'shem, he cursed his friend with God's name. Ava pishlosa maisa, chayv. In these three cases, even though no action was done, the person is going to be liable for lashes, as the Gemara is going to go through and explain them all. Now, Rabbi Yisrael B'Chanina Amru, in the name of Rabbi Yisrael B'Chanina, they added on, Afamaktim Trum Libikurim. Also, someone who, in the procedure of going through his untithed produce, there's a procedure of procession, what's supposed to be done. If he didn't do it in the proper order, he actually separated Trum before the Bikurim, the first fruits that are taken up to Yerushalayim, he will also get lashes, even though there's no action. So the Gemara goes through and explains the first one. Nishba Minol. How do we know that someone swears he's going to get lashes? So Amr Yechon Shem Remei, he says, because I'm a crowd, the post says in Shemais, says, Kilo Yinaka Hashem, because Hashem will not cleanse, will not forgive, will not cleanse, Es Asher Yiseh Shmei Lashav, someone that carries his name in vain, which is taking an oath falsely in vain, regarding a Shavua, regarding a violation of an oath. So what we see from this pasuk is, Bezen Shalmala, the heavenly court, referring to Hashem as we continue to Midbeis, the pasuk is telling us, Ein Menaka Noisei, will not cleanse the person. Like it says, Kilo Yinaka Hashem. But the inference is of a Bezen Shalmata, but the lower court, Here in our courts, Malkanoisei, they will give him lashes because of Menakanoisei. That's how they cleanse him. By getting the punishment, then you get cleansed. We see Hashem won't cleanse him, but obviously that the Bezdin here will cleanse him. That's how we see, although generally, since it's a lav shem and maisa, one wouldn't get lashes. The Torah explicitly telling us that regarding a violation of an oath, one will get lashes. But on that, Amar Rabbi Abaye says, why? How do you know that? Maybe the Pasuk is telling us that he will not get absolved at all, and maybe that we don't give him lashes here, because it says that there's no nikui here, there's no cleansing. Well, that Amar Rabbi said to him, as we already inferred, but im kein, if that's the case, lichtav kro lo yenaka v'lishtak. It should just say he won't be cleansed, and then just stay silent. Hashem lo Amar Rabbi. Why say lo yenaka Hashem? Hashem will not cleanse him. Rather to make the inference like we said. The heavenly court will not cleanse him. But the court here will cleanse him. How? By giving him lashes, and then he'll be cleansed. So we see that there's lashes regarding a violation of an oath. Now that in the Gemara asks, Ashkan Shvur Shav. Okay, so we have a source for one type of violation of an oath, which is called a oath in vain, which the Pasuk is talking about that we quoted, Asha Yiseh Shmoy Lashav, which took Hashem's name in vain, which is what's called a Shvur Shav. For example, if he swore regarding something that's obvious to a person, what are you taking such an oath for? You're taking God's name in vain. There's no utility in taking an oath, also to bring a point, to do something of severity. So that's what we see, that someone that takes a shvur shav will get lashes. But shvur sheker, a false oath, which I'm just going to explain what's the case exactly talking about, Menolim, where do we know that someone that takes a false oath, that he's going to get lashes? So Rabbi Yechon himself says, in contrast to what we just, his previous interpretation was the name of a mayor, here to answer this question, he says on his own, says, because Lashav Lashav Shnei Pam, it says in the Torah two times that regarding someone takes an oath in vain. Now, Im Ein In L'Shvur Shav, if the second time it says the word Shav, is not telling us regarding an oath in vain, because it already told us by the first word, so Tanei In L'Shvur Sheker Delaikas, it will tell us something that will be similar to it regarding a false oath, which he's going to get lashes for that too. Now, Maskele Ravo, he asks, well, Shvur Sheker Hechadami, what is this case that you're talking about that is included in getting lashes, which is also for a false oath? What is the case conceptualization? And that is, I neimu da Amar, Shaloi Eichel v'Ochel, if the case is talking about where, how to be a false oath, he swore that I'm not going to eat, and he ends up eating. Hasam hu maisa of it. What do you mean? There he actually did an action. He ate in violation of his oath, and therefore, obviously, he's going to get lashes because he violated the prohibition with an action. So that's not what we need to include. We know that by every negative prohibition, when there's an action, there's lashes. Of Ela the Amar, rather, it would be talking about where he said, Sha'oichel, I will eat, v'loy ochel, and he didn't eat, where there's no action. On that he asks, in such a case, Hahu Milaki, would actually such a person get lashes, that you're saying that that's what included from the extra second word of Shav? But Vidma, we learn clearly that even Rabbi Yechon himself, who we're quoting, actually holds that such a case you don't get lashes. Which is this case that the statement quotes. Shavua sha'ichel kikazayim. Someone says, I swear that I'm going to eat this loaf of bread today. And the day passed and he didn't eat that loaf of bread. Rabbi Yechon, v'rib shemalak, kishami, enu, like both of them say that the person does not get lashes. Now, they say for different reasons, both of them agree that they don't get lashes. Now, Rabbi Yechon, enu, like he says, the person doesn't get lashes. Why? Because the lav shem maisu. It's a negative prohibition without an action. The violation was by not eating. You didn't do anything. It was passive. Says Rabbi Yechonon, a negative prohibition without an action, one does not get lashes for. Rish Lakish Amein, like he says, the person doesn't get lashes for a different reason. Because to get a punishment for violating a prohibition, one has to have a prior warning. Here, the warning is not going to be able to be definitive. It's going to be only in doubt, which does not qualify and classify as a proper warning. Because if they're going to warn him, hey, be careful, you swore you're going to eat it, make sure you eat this before sundown, you swore, he could say, well, I'm not concerned about this warning, it's not a viable warning, because I still have time. And the whole day he could continue saying this. And even when the day passes, he could say, well, I forgot, I didn't remember, not the oath, not the warning. So there's never a time when you could say, ha, you're about to do the issur because I have time. And so there's never a time that's definitive and clear. And when you have a doubtful warning, you don't get lashes. So one thing is, that's obviously not the case that you're including in Shvur Sheker. So it can't be the case that you're including when he says, I won't eat, and he does eat, because that has a maisa, obviously getting lashes. And it can't include when he says, I will eat, and he doesn't eat, because there we see clearly that they hold that you don't get lashes. So Elam Rebavo rather says to Hay, let the case that we're including of Shvur Sheker, of the false oath, that there's going to be lashes, be achalti v'lo yachalti. when he swears, I will eat, I won't eat. So for example, let's say he says he swears, I won't eat, and he does eat. Or he swears, I will eat, regarding the past tense, not I will. Bechalti, it says, I did eat, or v'lo yechalti, I didn't eat. So he swears, oh, I didn't eat, and really he did eat. Or he swears, I ate, and he really didn't eat. Where in both of these cases, no action being done over here, it's regarding something in the past tense. That's the cases of a false oath that the person is going to get lashes for. To which the Gemara asks, Umayishna de kamar bechalti v'lo yechalti, why are we including in what we're saying he's going to get lashes for a false oath, when he said, when he swears, I did eat, or if he swears falsely, I didn't eat, more than the case of where he swears, I will eat, and he didn't eat, which is the case that we just quoted before from Rabbi Yochanan, where they both agree that there's not going to be lashes, but what's the difference? Why would you exclude the future case of where I will eat and he doesn't eat from getting lashes, more than the past tense where he swore that I did eat when really he didn't eat? Both of them, there's no action. So why does Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish both agree that no, there is lav shem b'maisa? Well, here it's also lav shem b'maisa. Why are we including that case more than that other case? Now, the Maravi answers that question because he says beferish ribs of Torah, because explicitly the Torah is including sheker doim l'shav. The punishment of lashes that we're including to say that the false oath will get it, even though there's no action, to be similar to the case of taking an oath in vain. Because like we just said before, how do we know that for sure sheker there's going to be lashes? From the extra word shav. So it has to be similar to the case of an oath in vain. Mashav l'shav, just like every oath in vain is a past tense, meaning when this person is swearing, oh, that this pillar of stone is really out of silver, which is obviously in vain, everyone knows the facts deny that, that's a past tense. He's swearing regarding something that was right now. What it is, where he gets lashes for that, as the Gemara said, that the court here lashes him and cleanses him. So av sheker l'shav is so to the case that we're going to be including of the shvur sheker, of the false oath, not in vain, just false, that he's lying, will also be regarding the past tense, when he swears, I did eat, or I didn't eat, yeah, which excludes the case of the future, which I will eat, and he doesn't end up eating. That's not being included, because it has to be similar to the case of l'shav, which is in the past tense. However, the Gemara continues asking, Ezra Rabbi Yirmiyahu or Bevo? He asks on this interpretation of Rabbi Bevo, who said that the case of including a Shavu Sheker is regarding the past tense, where he swears, I did eat or I didn't eat, and really he did or didn't in contradiction to what he swore. The question is from a Mishnah Masechta Shavuos. Mishnah says, Shavu Shaloi Oichel Kikuzu. If someone swears, he takes the oath, I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread. And again, he doubles down. Shavu Shaloi Oichel, I swear I'm not going to eat it. And then the triple. Shavu Shaloi Oichel, I swear I'm not going to eat it. And guess what happens? He eats it. So here he swore three times that he's not going to eat this loaf of bread. However, says the Mishnah Shavuos, ein l'chayev al achas. He's only going to be liable for one false oath, where, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shavuos, because an oath cannot take effect on an oath. Once you swear regarding something where you're not going to eat it, so the subsequent oaths, in contrast to neder, to other things, cannot take effect. So the first one is the one that he violated. He's not getting punished for the next two. And continues the Mishnah, Vizuhi Shvuas Bitur. And this is what's qualified as an oath of enunciation, because that's the terminology of the Pasuk that says, Lavati Bisvasayim. Someone's going to enunciate with his lips, Lahara or Lahatif, to do bad or to do good, meaning this is the oath that a person will say with his lips, that he says that he's not going to eat the loaf of bread, and he ends up doing it. And that's the punishment that the Mishnah is about to say what he gets, because, meaning in contrast to, let's say, he didn't steal anything from his friend, which that actually has a different ramification regarding that type of oath. But we're here we're talking about Shavuos Bitur, Shechayav Nas Doina Makas, where he'll be liable if he does it deliberately, and he did this violation deliberately regarding the Shavuos Bitur, he'll be liable for Makas, for lashes. Vashagagasa Karban El Yared, if he did it by mistake, he'll be liable for what's called the Karban El Yared, which, depending on how much money he has, that's how much of an expensive carbon he brings regarding specifically this halach of Shavuos Bitur. Because in contrast, what's called the Shavuos Eidus, he swears falsely regarding testimony that he knows, or Shavuos Abikod, and he denies a deposit with an oath that it was given to him, they're actually, even not only by Beshoigu, but even by deliberate, there's also going to be a carbon, and specifically a carbon of Asha. But one thing the Gemara says as follows. Zuhi lema'utei mai. When it says, oh, this is the halacha of a Shavuos Bitur, which Mishnah is talking about a case when he says, I won't eat it, and he does eat it. That we're saying that, oh, that he's not going to be liable. That we're saying that he's going to be liable for, if he does it deliberately, he's going to be chayiv makis. When we're saying this is the case, we're obviously excluding a different case where we're saying, oh, even if he does it deliberately, he's not going to be liable for lashes. What are we excluding? Lav le'mu'uti isn't excluding the inverse, which he would talk about that he says, I won't eat it, and he does eat it. Isn't it excluding achalti b'loy achalti, where he says that I did eat it, or I didn't eat it, where even though that's a shavuz bita, that's it's not stealing money from someone, it's just enunciation of the lips, in falsehood, then that's the case that is excluding that saying, d'loy laki, that there, you're not going to get lashes. Why? Why are we excluding that case? Because the terminology of the tense of the pasuk is lohara oy lehetiv, to do bad, to do good, which in the future tense, which would be excluding the past tense, like, I did eat, I didn't eat. So therefore we see that there is not going to be lashes. So we have refuted the interpretation of Rebbe Vo, and we're back to the question. So then what exactly is the case of Shavu Sheker that we're including that would get lashes, even though there's no action to it? So Rishik Mura says, Loi, no, it's not a refutation of Rebbe Vo's interpretation. When we say Zuhi, this is the case as if we're excluding something else. It's on the other element of the Mishnah, not regarding the lashes, not excluding achalti v'loy achalti from lashes. Rather, the ashegagasa maisi carbon regarding this error, if someone does by mistake, where he said, I'm not going to eat it, and by mistake he eats it, then that's when he's going to bring a carbon. Ava, what we're excluding is, yeah, we're excluding the past tense of achalti v'loy achalti, I did eat or I didn't eat, but not from lashes. Lashes he will get if he does it deliberately, like Ravo had interpreted. But rather, it's loy maisi carbon. If he does it by mistake, he's not going to bring a carbon of oil of a yard. Why? Because actually this lahara lahaitiv, which is in the future tense, in that pasuk is actually referring to the liability of the carbon. But however, there's still going to be a liability of lashes, similar like we said to the case of shvu shab, where both are in the past tense, a shvu sheker of a chati v'lechati would be liable for lashes, like Rebbe said. And Umani, and who's the town of this mission, like we're interpreting that achalti v'lechati from the past tense will not bring a carbon if he does it by mistake? It's Rabbi Shmolhi. Dama that Rabbi Shmuel says in Masechta Shavuos Daf Chofeim and Aleph, he says, in a chayv, el al asad lavi, that the carbon, if one does by mistake, a violation of Shavuos Bita, is only regarding something in the future, not in the past. Aval, but the Gemara maintains the answer of Rabbi Vo, milkalaki, but for the past tense, one would get lashes. But the Gemara continues asking, says, wait, aim a safe. Look at the end of that Mishnah over there, Masechta Shavuos, which the next Mishnah, which the first Mishnah was qualifying what the Shavuos Bita will have this halacha. The next Mishnah says, Azu Shavuos Shav, it was qualifying over there what's considered an oath in vain, which is, will have these halachas of what? Shechayom and Azdainamakis, here it's different halachas than that of Shavuos Bita. Here, this is the same idea where, yeah, this is the type of Shavuos Shav that will be liable if one does it deliberately for lashes. The Ashigagasa Pater, here it's different here. Actually, if one dude does Shavu Shav by mistake, he's actually exempt from a carbon. But one thing says the Gemara, Zuhilim Utimai, when it says, oh, this is a case of by Shavu Shav that you'll be liable if you do deliberately lashes, what are we coming to exclude? Lavim Uti Chalti Vachloi Chalti, isn't it coming to exclude something which is similar actually to Shavu Shav, which is also in the past tense, that if he says I ate or I didn't eat, that actually would be Deloy Lucky, that you won't get lashes? Isn't that what's being excluded? So you see that actually that case does not get lashes. So it's like, no, it's not difficult. Zuhi, when we're saying this is the one, what are we coming to exclude? Not from the laws of lashes, but rather da shegagasa patim carbon. It's only over here by the shvu shav, which in the past tense that we say regarding when you do it by mistake, that you're exempt from a carbon. Aval achalti v'loy achalti maisi carbon. But regarding the case that we're coming to exclude, not excluding it from the laws of lashes when you do deliberately, but it's coming to exclude it from the exemption of a carbon when you do by mistake, because actually when someone says, I did eat or I didn't eat in falsehood, he actually, for that falsehood, he actually might see carbon. If he does it by mistake, he actually has to bring a carbon. Umanu, because who's the town of this Mishnah? Rabbi Kivahi. The Amar that he says, Mavi and carbon l'shava, that you do bring a carbon for taking a false oath regarding the past tense. On that, the Gemara asks, wait, but Amar Reish Rabbi Shmuel. You had a question from Shavuos Bita, you answered and you said, oh, that's Rabbi Shmuel. And now you're saying that the Sefer is Rabbi Kiva, who they're obviously in disagreement, like we're saying, does a past tense mechayev a carbon or pater from a carbon? So Elder Brother says, Gemara, you're right. But the Sefer Rabbi Kiva, in fact, that we just verified and we explained that the Sefer is Rabbi Kiva, Reisham not Rabbi Kiva, the Reisham is Rabbi Kiva. The Reisham, however, to answer then the original question, Lav mu'uti echalti v'lo echalti. It's not coming to exclude from when we say the Shavuos Bita is, I won't eat this bread, and he eats it, to exclude when he said in the past tense that I ate it or I didn't eat it, even, we're not excluding it even from the laws of a carbon. Because most definitely, like we had answered, that if he says I ate or I didn't eat, he's going to be chayiv if he does it by mistake a carbon, because we're going like Rabbi Kiva. El mu'uti echal v'lo echal. Rather, what would he coming to exclude? Not the past tense. As the Gemara is going to actually explain this, a similar future tense. When he says, I will eat, and he doesn't eat. That's where he's not going to be chayev for Malkus. like we said, because that's the case that both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shmuel, both and Rabbi Shmuel Lakish, both agree that you don't get lashes for, and that's what's being excluded. So Rosh Gemara asks, "Umayishno?" But what's the difference? Why are we excluding, in the case of the Reisha, a future tense of when he says, "I will eat," and he doesn't eat, where we're exempting from lashes, and yet in the Sefer we're including, again through the exclusion of the exemption, a case of, "I did eat or I didn't eat," in the Sefer, where then we say it's going to be chayv in the carbon. Why are we differentiating in one case excluding a future tense and the Sefer excluding a past tense? Rosh Hashanah answers, it's logical to say, we address specifically that of the Reisha, that of the Shuas B, to exclude a case where he says, "I will eat," and he doesn't end up eating. Why? Mishum dekoy belaba. Because that Reisha is talking about in the future tense. It's talking about a case where we're saying, oh, this is the case of Shuas Bita, where he says, "I won't eat it," and he does eat it. So Mamait, when it's saying this is the one, we're excluding a similar case of Lahaba. So it's also in the future tense when he says, "I will eat," and he doesn't eat. That there, you're not going to get lashes. But is it possible, says the Gemara, that we're going to be talking about a future tense and Mamait Lashava, we'll be excluding something from the past tense, like the case of Bechati Blechati? No, we're not excluding that case. That case is actually going to be chayiv in the carbon, and it's going to be chayiv in lashes. Whereas actually the case of the Seifa, which was Tomash Shmushav, which is a past tense, therefore that's where we're excluding a past tense of what? Of that of the exemption of the carbon, because you actually chayv in the carbon. And therefore there's no difficulty in the interpretation of Revo. That's actually the case of Shavu Sheker, that we're including someone to Shavu Shav, which is the past tense of a chati b'lei chati, is going to be chayv in lashes, even though it's a lab, she'im b'maisa. Rosh Gemara continues this b'raisa, and goes to the next item that we mentioned, that even though there's no maisa, umeimer, if someone does temur, is going to be chayv for lashes, as we said in our Mishnah. Now, however, only Rabbi Yochanan Latana, Rabbi Yochanan said to the one who was teaching this b'raisa, that actually, loy tisni umeimer, don't count the violation of tumur with these other categories of negative prohibitions, that even though they don't have an action to them, that you're going to be chayiv for malchus. Mishum dibidibura asa maisa, because actually with his words, he actually committed an action, meaning he affected a physical transaction where he made the unconsecrated animal into kachim. So that is the equivalent of a maisa, and therefore don't include that this has to have a special exception, because it's like a regular lav sheyesh b'maisa, and therefore it's going to have lashes. The next item mentioned by the Brayis was Hamakalis Chaver B'Shem. Someone curses his friend with God's name. Says Gemara Manolim, where do we know that such a person gets lashes, even though he didn't do an action? So Amar B'Lazar Amar B'Yishai, he says, because Amar Kar, the Pasuk says in Devarim, it says, Im Leitishmer, if you're not going to safeguard to do, which it says all the words of the Torah that are written in the Sefer, to fear Hashem, to fear God, the awesome one and the respected one, Hashem your God, which the Torah is telling us to fear God, not to say his name in vain, which also includes cursing his friend with God's name, where he's saying God's name for no obvious constructive purposes, using the curse. Now, Ksiv, and the Pasuk says after that, the next Pasuk, says, V'hifla Hashem es makais, Hashem will be wondrous in the wounds that he's going to inflict on you. Now, haflozu in yidei mahu, I don't know what this means, that Hashem is going to be wondrous in what he's going to do in to punish such a person who says God's name in cursing someone else. But Kishoem, when the Pasuk says in Devarim, Vehipiloi, which is the same root as Hafla, Vehipiloi Hashevet, that the judge will throw down the person, Vehiko Lafanov, and he'll give him lashes in front of him, Havaim Hafla Zumalkis. You see that Hafla, this root Pei Lamed, refers to lashes, so we see that someone that curses his friend with God's name is going to get lashes. Rosh Gemara asks, Emra Filish Vuis Emes. Maybe say that the Pasuk is warning even someone that takes an oath in truth, that even a true oath, a person shouldn't do with God's name. And if he does, then the Pasuk says, V'hifla Hashem es makaischa, then he's going to get lashes. How do you know specifically only if he's using it to curse his friend? Says the Gemara, and that's because it's saying that one has to respect God's name. Maybe that means you're never allowed to take God's name and taking an oath. Says the Gemara, no, behed yiksev, explicitly the Pasuk tells us in Shemayis that it's permitted to do that. It says, Shavuos Hashem tiyeh bein shneim, when there's two litigants and they have to verify something. So there's an oath of God's name between the two of them. You see that one is permitted to do that. Says the Gemara, how do you know that? Maybe the Pasuk is only talking about regarding that to appease his friend, that he shouldn't claim from him money. So therefore, that's when he takes an oath with God's name. But maybe he's still going to get lashes since he brought himself to a situation where he has to make an oath. Maybe that's going to make him get lashes, even though it's a true oath. Says, come on, no, limit Sisa Amrit, you can't say that. Because the Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Devarim, Wait, here it also says that Hashem, your God, you should fear Him and you should serve Him. And it says, "Uvishmoi tishaveya," and in His name you should swear, which is a true oath is permitted to be done. Says the Gemara, well, no, hahu mibayilei l'kederav. That can't tell us that a true oath, one doesn't get lashes. That's actually needed to tell us a different teaching, that of Rav. The Rav Gidlum Rav, he says, minayin shenishbon l'kaimes ha-mitzvos. And where do you know that a person could take an oath to fulfill mitzvahs, mean that he shouldn't be able to back out anymore, that he's committing himself because he took an oath? How do we know that that's something that it's permitted for a person to do? Shnemak, it says a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Nishbati v'akayim, and David HaMelech says, I swore and I fulfilled, lishma mishpatei tzedkecha, to safeguard the commandments of your righteousness. Which we see that that's something that should be done, that David HaMelech did, to swear to fulfill the mitzvahs. Now, maybe that's why you need the pasuk of b'shamay tishaveya to tell us that, yeah, to swear to fulfill the mitzvah is permitted. But no one says that, just in general, to take a true oath, that one doesn't get lashes. Says the Gemara, no, but Haksiv Krachrina, there's another pasuk in Devarim that says, and this pasuk also says, that Hashem your God, you should fear Him and you should serve Him. Uvoi tidvuk, and to Him you should cleave. Uvishmai tishaveya, and in His name you should swear. So you have two psukim that say uvishmai tishaveya, one in Beschanan and one in Parshas Akib. One's telling us that when nishban lekaimis a mitzvah, we swear to force a person to fulfill a mitzvah. By himself he takes the oath. And the other one is to say that it's permitted to make an oath in truth. Therefore, you can't say it's including even that one gets lashed even for taking God's name in a true oath. So elamai asus, rather. So what is it coming to teach us when it says imloy tishma, if you're not going to safeguard, and then you're going to get this punishment of lashes? This is obviously lemakalas chaver b'shem. Obviously, it's talking about where someone curses his friend with God's name. There most definitely is going to get lashes, even though he didn't do an action. The Shemar says the aim of lemaisi shem shemaim levatala. But maybe the pasuk is saying for someone who takes God's name in vain. But maybe someone who curses his friend with God's name is not going to get lashes. Tosha Gemara asks, what do you mean? Isn't that a kol shekein? Mi gur makalas chavei, what do you think? It's less? Someone who curses his friend b'shem with God's name, mi mitzvah shem shemayim levatala, who someone just says God's name for no purpose? What do you mean? If that's, you're getting lashes, for sure makalas chavei b'shem. Says the Gemara, no, anan hochi kokashon. This was our question. Ema say, mitzvah shem shemayim levatala, tiski le b'malkas. Maybe someone just says God's name in vain for no constructive purpose, that for him it's sufficient to cleanse himself by getting lashes. And that's what the pasuk is talking about over there. Av makal chavei b'shem, but if someone curses his friend with God's name, kiven da avitarti, since actually doing two violations. First of all, the komapik shem shemem levatala, he's not using God's name in a constructive purpose, and who could mitzar le lechavei, and with that he's also paining his friend, maybe lo tisagile b'malkas. Maybe it's not sufficient with lashes, so although he's going to get lashes because he's taking God's name in vain, but maybe even so, he's not going to get an atonement with just the lashes itself. That's our question. There's the Gemara answers on the top of the Alamad Aleph, lo mitzisa amid. You can't say that. Why? Because the Chassid Pas says in the Yikram, lo tikal cheresh, don't curse a deaf mute. Now, that includes all types of people. But it sounds like that we're talking about however you're going to curse him, whether in general or with God's name, where the Torah is telling us a negative prohibition, that one's not allowed to curse, including with God's name. Now, v'yamet b'shleiman, if you say that the pasuk that we brought before that says to fear God is coming to tell us that, like the next pasuk says, you're going to get lashes, like it says, v'hif l'Hashem es makoyscha, Hashem is going to do pellet with the wounds, which we said from another pasuk means lashes. So, if you're going to say that that's referring to l'kal es chaveri, to someone who curses his friend with God's name, and the reason is that you need to have, to get a punishment, which that pasuk that we're bringing on previous Amid is talking about getting the punishment, you could only get a punishment only if there's a warning in the Torah. So if you're saying that punishment was talking about someone who curses his friend with God's name, so we know where there's azhar in the Torah to get that punishment from this pasuk of l'tikhal cheresh. The chsev, like the kal cheresh, says you can't curse a deaf mute, which, as we explained, that's referring to someone who curses his friend with God's name, because cursing the deaf mute would be with God's name or without God's name, but it's warning that with God's name too. So therefore, when it says in the pasuk, like tish malasa, is that, oh, which is telling us that if you're going to curse your friend with God's name, which you have an azhara from like the kal cheresh, oh, so there's azhara, so then we can tell you nainish of a hif l'Hashem, which that you can be liable for lashes. But if you say, as you're asking, then maybe it's referring to Maitzi Shemesh Mem Lubatala. Someone just says God's name in vain with no purpose. So where exactly are you going to have a source in the Torah of a prohibition to say that, oh, that pasuk is the punishment that of a hif l'Hashem? The halacha is that one has to have an azhara to have the einish, and for the halacha of Shemesh Mem Levatala, you don't have a source for the Asara, and therefore obviously it's not talking about that of Shemesh Mem Levatala, but rather of Mikal Chaveri B'Shem. Now, that's one interpretation Rashi has. Another one he brings from elsewhere, from Rabbi Yitzchak ben Rabbi Menachem, is actually the Gemara is talking about a different point. It was addressing the Gemara's question that it asked. It says, maybe it's not enough, Mikal Chaveri B'Shem. Maybe Shemesh Mem Levatala isn't sufficient to cleanse with lashes. Maybe Mikal Chaveri B'Shem, it wouldn't be enough. That's what the Gemara is saying is, Loi Metzi Zamet, no, you can't say that. That what? That it won't be enough of an atonement with just lashes itself. Because the Gemara is saying, no, most definitely, he's going to get an atonement just with lashes itself. Why? Because that's what the Gemara says, Dechsiv Li Tekal Cheresh. It says, you can't curse a deaf mute. Now, that's part of a larger combination, which the Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Samavav and Aleph. That's the Gzeirah Shavah from that pasuk, which it says regarding the low down, the trodden, the downtrodden ones, like Lita Kal Cheresh, who he's from the lower of the stratus in society, which is the lowest. Now, additionally, it says those regarding the Nasi, who's on top of the status. It says, Menasi Ba'am Chalitari, not allowed to curse the prince amongst you. So we say, just like over there, it's only referring to Malchus itself. That's obvious from the context over there. Here also, by the low down ones, that of the Cheresh, it's also going to be sufficient that what the punishment is going to be just with Malchus itself. And as we explain, that pasuk is talking about cursing with God's name. And how we know that is because we're learning that from someone who curses his father. The pasuk there says clearly, benuk for Hashem, that he uses God's name. So therefore, you can't say that it's not going to be sufficient with Malchus because the pasuk like the Kal Cheresh, which is talking about using God's name, is going to be sufficient with just getting lashes. So that's what the Gemara was addressing with this discussion. But one thing the Gemara says and continues is, Alam Alai, why not? Why are you saying that we don't find a prohibition in the Torah for someone who is Maskeh Shem Shemayim Levatala, who says God's name with no purpose? What do you mean? V'oksiv, there's a pasuk in Devarim. It says, Es Hashem Lekechad Tira, that Hashem your God you should fear, V'oisei Savad, and Him you should serve, which could be the source for telling us that, yeah, you have to fear him, and that you can't even say God's name in vain to be Maitzei Shem Shemayim Levatala. So maybe, since we have an Asara, so therefore maybe that punishment could be referring to that of Shem Shemayim Levatala, and actually won't be enough of a cleansing with lashes for that of Mekal Chaveri Shem, where there's two problems. So the Gemara, no. Hahu, this pasuk you bring from Devarim, Asharas Asehu. It's a warning of a positive commandment. It's saying it in the positive. You should fear God in the positive, you should serve Him, and therefore it can't qualify as, quote, an azhara, as a warning. Because a warning has to be with what you cannot do. So therefore, like we said, the previous pasuk that we quoted of to fear Hashem, Hanichbad, is obviously referring to someone that curses his friend with God's name, which, as we said, because we find the source that there's a prohibition of, a negative prohibition of loite kal cheresh, not cursing with God's name, as we explained, therefore, it's talking about that, and that's where the pasuk is talking about that one gets vehifla, which is going to be malchus. But it's not going to be referring to Maitzei Shem Shemayim Levatala, where we don't find asharas of a lav, a prohibition in a negative context, and therefore that answers the Gemara question, how we know it's specifically talking about Mekal Chaveri B'Shem. B'Shem is going to be one of the items that we mentioned, that even though it's lav shem b'maisa, but one is going to get lashes for it.